Okay. So what I want to deal with, and this will take us more than one day, is the question of what material can the beged be made of? Can the garment of the tzitzis, not the strings of the tzitzis, but the garment be made of to obligate one in tzitzis on a biblical level and on a rabbinic level, or not at all? And these are really, in the Gemara, it's two sugyot. The Gemara in Lamed Tet is dealing with the question of whether, biblically speaking, anything besides for wool and linen, right, beged made of anything besides for wool and linen is obligated. The Gemara makes it very clear in Memum Bet that leather is not obligated rabbinically, or biblically or rabbinically. So what we need to figure out is basically, right, three things, right? Which are biblically obligated, which are rabbinically obligated. Why is leather not obligated at all, right? We need to analyze that conceptually. We'll deal probably with the first questions today. Then, halacha l'maisa, and like I said, I don't need you to read all these sources in Seder, but I have them so that sheer we can cover them, is based on the conceptual models that we present, what do you then do with synthetic materials? And that will divide between synthetic materials in which you make a full non-holy beged or mesh, right, which is even more complicated. Mesh we will have to keep in the back of our mind because that is yet another complicated question, which is what we'll do afterwards, which relates to size. Right, we'll see that the size of the beged is important, but the question is, is size only about size, or is it also about quality? Right, mesh is not just about material, but about quality of the beged. Right, is something that's see-through and whole and is full of holes, is that considered a beged at all? Those are the questions that I want to deal with. Again, it's really three different sugyot. It's lamed tet amud bet, mem amud bet, and then size is mem aleph, mem amud bet, from mem aleph amud aleph. But we will do this right methodically. Okay. So let's start with the Gemara. So how does the Gemara get into this discussion? Right. So the Gemara gets into this discussion because it's discussing what?
Tzitzis.
Yeah, specifically, which strings can be used for which? Right. Which strings can be used for which beged? Right. Right. So the Gemara says, "Amar Shmuel, Gavi, you want to take it?"
Sure.
Amar Shmuel.
Amr Shmuel, Mishnei Nelevi, Chutet Semer Potrin Bishel Pishtan. So, wool strings are allowed to be on a linen beged.
Right, well, not just are allowed to, what's Potrin?
Or not, you're a potter.
No, Potrin, they make...
It makes it...
Meaning, it counts as tzitzis, so now you can wear this garment. Right now, obviously, the classic case in which you would do that is tchelet, because tchelet has to be on wool.
Right.
It's not just an option, it must be wool. Right. Tchelet is always, always wool.
Right.
Tzitzit can be made of other material, but the white can be made of other material, but you don't have a choice. And that's what, on Mem Amud Aleph, we'll get to that question, which is the Asi Dohalozase question, which is, if you have linen, how can you have wool? Can you have wool? Tzitzit, will that create a problem of kilayim? Right, or not, because of Asiyah Chalosa say, but that's on Memo Mada. We're going to have to come back to that. That's, right, once you turn the page, that's the next issue. Okay. So then the Gemara says, so we know that Samer can go on Pishtan. Again, that's assuming, like, later in the Gemara, that Chelet you can put even on linen garments, even though it's Kilayim. So now the Gemara flips it. What about... Yeah, continue. Yubayelu.
Yubayelu, Yishol Pishtan, Mahu. Sheiftu
b'shel tzemer b'shel pishtan. So the Gemara said, no, pishtan mao sheiftu b'shel tzemer. Can you use linen for a wool garment? So it's tzemer b'shel pishtim, who de patar came to tchelet patra lavanami patar. Do you say that since... Oh, he's alive. Do we say that... I have a feeling, Daniel.
I'm
better. There you go. Grab a Gemara. Okay, so do you say that since you already need to put wool on, you always need to put wool on linen? Why? Because of tchelet. So you can also do that for the white, but the other way around is not true, because there's no reason that you dafka need to put linen on wool. Kevin dechtiv lo tovashat ne semer pishim yachdav gidilim tasa v'chalosh not semer pishim v'losh not pishim b'tzemer. Or is there no difference? So again, the question of Asidol Chalos to say why you can put kilayim on tzitzis is what is the next sugya, but this is the way that the Gemara gets into the issue. So Tashma the Marach of Amar of Yehuda. So he says that you can put wool on linen, linen on wool. And then the next line is what we need to focus on, which is and if you have wool or linen strings, so that fulfills the mitzvah even on what shirayim? Right, silk or anything, yes, thank you. Anything. Good, Justin. I'm glad you're feeling better. I was worried about you. Okay. So the Gemara says that according to the first position here, the position of Rav Yehuda, biblically speaking, what clothing is obligated in tzitzis? All materials. Right? All materials. Well, not all materials. We'll see, not or. But things other than semer upishtim, things other than wool and linen. And when you're making the strings, what type of strings can you use for shirayin, for a silk, let's say? You can always use wool and linen. You can always use wool and linen. And this disputes who?
Rav Nachman.
Good. Upligad Rav Nachman, because Rav Nachman, there's another guess. The next line. Damar Rav Nachman. Hashirayin pturin min hatzitzit. Silk is?
No.
Motorcycle?
I don't know.
Hashirayim pturim min hatzitzit. Silk is exempt. So the Gemara says, Eisvei Rav Lav Nachman, Hashirayim v'aklach v'asrikin, chulin kulon chayavim b'tzitzit. What are you talking about? We have an explicit statement that silk and other materials are in fact obligated in tzitzit. So what does the Gemara say? Midirabanan. Everyone agrees that other materials rabbinically need tzitzis, but biblically they don't. So Gemara says, "Iachi emasefa." That's what you say. What are you going to say about the latter half of that statement? V'chulan semer upishtim potrin otan. So what do you say about the end, which is for all of them you can use wool and linen? Iamar bishalma dal raisa ainu mishu bikilayin. If you think that, let's say, silk is obligated in tzitzis, so that's why you're allowed to put wool and linen on the beged for tzitzis because it's biblically obligated. And as we'll see, there's a gzeiras hakasuv that kilayim, you can wear tzitzis which are kilayim. Eli yamar dirabanan, but if you think that these clothes on a biblical level don't need tzitzis, so you can't put kilayim, why can't you put kilayim?
Because
it's only rabbinically obligated. You can't come and then put kilayim because the gzeirah that causes it, which allows kilayim on tzitzis, is only on biblically obligated tzitzis. So eichi mishter bu kilayim. So the Gemara says, you're right. It doesn't mean wool and linen. It means otzem or opishtim. Either or. Hacha nami mistabra, and that makes sense. Tikatani seifa, hein b'minan potrin, shalo b'minan ein potrin. And this was a sugya that we did before, which was, remember this, min kenaf, that on a silk beged, you have three options. The tzitzit can be made of wool, or linen, or silk. Remember? Min kenaf. You can always do min kenaf. Right? The same material as the beged.
But if you need to chaylet, then you need it to be...
Except for chaylet, which has to be wool.
Right.
Right? But the lavan, the lavan strings.
You're saying that you can only ever have all wool, such as...
Well, all wool on linen, on silk would be fine.
Wool and silk.
Silk.
Yeah, but on flax, you can't have...
We're not talking about flax now. We're talking about, right? Because now we're talking about which ones are rabbinically obligated. He's saying, oh... Right, it can't be both, because if it's rabbinically obligated, you can't have wool and linen.
Right.
But you could have wool or linen or silk. But
okay,
tchelet's not true. Tchelet would always have to be wool, but you could have wool plus silk.
Fine.
So, he said, if it's rabbinic, that's why you can use silk. But if it was biblical, it should only be able to have wool or linen, not wool, linen, or silk. So imi shum halo iriya k'derava, the Rava, and he said that's not true, because Rava said, Rami k'tiv, ha-kanaf min kanaf, u k'tiv temer u pishtim. And this is the sugya that we already did in Shir, which was from Hakanaf, we learned that the tzitzit strings have to be the same material as the beged. So, but elsewhere it says it can be woolen linen, haketzad. So the Gemara says, this is the halacha. Semru pishtim potran bein b'minan, bein shalo b'minan. Woolen linen will exempt any material. Shar minan, b'minan potran, shalo b'minan, ein potran. But other material, you can make the tzitzis the same material as the beged, but you can't use silk on cotton, let's say. For Rav Nachman, kidetanet beiru Yishmael, detanet beiru Yishmael, ha'ol v'nemru begadim betara stam, and why does Rav Nachman think you can only use woolen linen? Sorry, you can use even shirayim. He says, because the Torah says, begadim, upar la'achaz v'echad men semru pishtim, af kol semru pishtim. He says, when we talk about begadim, we talk about woolen linen, and if we talk about it in one context as woolen linen, that means whenever we mean beged, we mean wool and linen. And Amar Abaye, Vatanir Riri Shmael, Mafka Meidach Tanir Riri Shmael, Detanir Riri Shmael, Beged Enli Beged, Samra Minayin, Lerabo, Samra Gmalim, Vatamar Navim, Vinotza Shel Izim, Vaklach, Vasikin, Vashirayim Minayin, Tamad Lomar, O Beged. He says, how does he know you can use any material? Because it says Beged, from which we assume wool and linen, and then O Beged, which is the extra O, teaches us any material. Okay? So let's focus on the central question. So we have a machloket in the Gemara. Are the only begadim that are obligated in tzitzit those made of wool or linen? Or any material but not leather, but we'll get to leather later. Okay. So, simple pshat in the Gemara. What is the machloket? How does the Gemara present the machloket? Two gzerot hakatuv. Right? In some places we know that beged means only wool and linen. Do we extrapolate from there, or do we say, oh, beged includes other things? Right? But let's push it a little bit farther. Really, what's the machloket? Right?
Sotness versus
not. No, it's not wool mixed with linen. Wool or linen. Wool or linen. But let's think about it conceptually, okay? Always methodologically. If you have a machloket, so, and you want to figure out what it is conceptually, so how do you start figuring it out? What do you start with? The easier side, right? The easier side. So if I asked you, right? If I asked you and I said, do you think that a piece of clothing not made of cotton, let's say, right? Do you think that a cotton beged should be obligated tzitzis? If you didn't know the Gemara, what would you say? If you didn't know the Gemara, which would be more likely? And then we'll start with that.
Yes.
Yes, good. Why?
Because it's a beged.
Good. Right? Meaning the logic of the position that all material, and we'll have to explain why leather might be an exception to this, but the notion that it doesn't matter what material something's made of, it is chayav in tzitzis, the logic is actually conceptually very easy, which is, what is chayav in tzitzis? Clothing. What is clothing?
Something you wear.
That is clothing. That is all there is to it, right? That is actually conceptually very smooth. Right? It doesn't sound like you need Xeris HaKasuv. I mean, Gemara presents Obeged. So you could say it's just Xeris HaKasuv. Or really, what is it saying? Obeged, or any other clothing. These clothes, those clothes, whatever clothes. Clothes are clothes are clothes. Tzitzis, you put, what does the Pasuk say? You put it, Akanfot Big Dehem, on the corners of your clothing. And clothing are clothing. Clothing's what you wear. Like, what do you want from me? Giving me a headache and conceptually analyzing what does it mean, clothing? Our clothing. So, methodologically speaking, if we want to understand this machlokas, so what do we need to do? We need to explain the other position. Right? The position that all materials are obligated biblically makes sense. It just means that tzitzis, a four-cornered garment needs tzitzis, and a garment is that which you wear. That's the definition. Why would you say not this way? Right? This is the position that you need to justify. Right? Why would you say the opposite?
Because it specifically said wool and linen.
So what you're going to have to say, right? So look, if you have the if you look at the psukim, so it's actually a machloket in the Rishonim, which pasuk is being quoted here. So if you look, right, it's machloket whether the pasuk being quoted is the pasuk by Nigayim, meaning by tzarat on clothing, or whether it's the one being quoted by tumah. Right? If you look at the last Tosos, right? What pasuk is the proof? So perish bekuntres b'nigayim k'tiv. Rashi says the relevant pasuk is by tzarat. So look at Dalet, if you have the you all have the Orator Shalim, right?
Yeah.
Oh,
here?
Yeah, so you have the pasuk. So look at Dalet in it. So the first one is what Rashi thinks the pasuk is, which is Habeged ki yihyevo negat tzarat. If you have clothing which has tzarat, beveged tzemer o beveged pishkim. Right? Either wool or linen. Now, if you look at this pasuk, there are two ways you could read this pasuk, conceptually. Okay? And let's try to understand how the Gemara is doing it. Again, we'll start with Rashi. Rashi thinks this is the proof text. How do you read this pasuk? Or what does this pasuk tell you about the definition of clothing in halacha?
Clothing is something that you wear.
So, how do you read this pasuk? Habeged ki yebo nega tzarat, beveged tzemer o beveged pishkim.
Something that can get tzarat.
Look at the pasuk. Beveged tzarat, tzemer o beveged pishkim. Clothing of, right? So read it both ways. How would you read this pasuk to teach you? Let's say you wanted to say that all begadim are chayev and sittis. So how would you read this pasuk?
Thing that you wear that can get tzarat.
No. You would say, no, that tzarat is limited to wool and linen. But look at the qualifier. It's not defining beged. It's saying, a beged, which can have tzarat? Only these types of begadim can have tzarat. But why do you need the qualifier in the first place? Ha beged of tzemer, or a beged of pishtim, because it can be a beged without wool or linen. It's just that for the purposes of tzarat, it needs... But if you wanted to say all clothing is liable, how would you read the pasuk? All things are called beged. By tzitzis, all we know is beged, that it needs to be clothing. By tzarat, we have an added halacha that it needs to be clothing made of these materials. That doesn't mean that something else is not clothing. It just means that it's not clothing that becomes something with tzarat, but for other purposes in halacha, it's called clothing. How does the Shita and the Gemara who wants to limit it, how does he read the pasuk? He says no.
It's
a colon.
He only mentions
right? It's a colon. It's not these. It's clothing, i.e., what do we mean by the word clothes?
Wool or linen.
Wool and linen. But what is the conceptual justification for that? Right? This is what's weird, is that according to this, does the word clothing mean that which you wear?
No.
No, right? It doesn't. How would you define the word beged according to this position?
Wool and linen garments.
Good, so how do you get there? Like, what does that even mean?
Well, then he brings the other...
Isn't that, we need to push it a little bit farther. Meaning, it would be like saying, you know, think about it in English, right? If I said, clothing can encompass within it formal wear and dress wear. It can encompass within it shirts and pants and shoes and hats and socks and whatever, right? That's the first position, right? Beged means clothing. Right? But according to the other position, what does beged mean? It has to be that it's a proper noun or something like that, right? It's like saying...
It's a qualified object.
Right, it's like saying formal wear or something like that. Right, it's like saying, right, black tie. Right? Black tie doesn't mean... It's not like,
actual black tie.
Right. Meaning, the word beged, according to him, doesn't mean clothing in English. Beged means
wool and
linen garments. The same way that black tie or formal wear doesn't mean, right, a t-shirt isn't, right, a t-shirt is not fancy formal wear, right? It's not formal, right? Meaning beged, according to him, doesn't mean in English clothing. It means just like black tie means a certain set of clothing, and something outside that category is not that, just not fancy. It's not that. Right? It's like shoes do not mean...
Sandals.
Meaning shoes are not socks that are hard, right? They are shoes, right? We understand that there are certain words that are more specific. Clearly, conceptually, what this position is saying is, from the fact that by tzarat we learn that the only type of beggar that can become tamei tzarat is wool and linen, that means not that clothing are all beged in English is clothing, but there are only certain types of clothes that can become chayev in tzarat. It's that, or can contract tzarat. It's that. The word beged doesn't mean clothing. It means a subcategory of clothing, right, made from the most halakhically recognized materials, which are tzemer or pishtim. Right, that's clearly what the shita is holding, is that the word beged in English doesn't mean clothes for halakhic purposes. It means, right, it's a more limited referent. Right, it has more limited reference. It means whatever. Right, wool and linen clothes, just like formal wear, doesn't mean all things. It means a specific subset. Now, this is the pasuk that Rashi thinks it comes from. Continue in Tosos, though. So he says, "Vikasha chadading nitzarch lichrod o biveged achiktiv gabi negayim." So he has a few drasha questions. He has three questions, right? But let's focus on the last one. You know what? Let's not focus too much on his. He has three problems with this. Four problems, actually. But his main problem is that there is actually a machloket about this, right? By Negayim. So then, look at skip to Lekach Tzarech Lefarish. Dibishrasim hu dechtev. He says it's from the following pasuk. So if you go back to the Dalet over here, this is from Tumat Sheretz, which is V'chol Asher Yipol Olav Mehem Bimotam Yitma. Right? Any of these things that these creepy crawlies touch in their death will become tamim. He called Kli Eitz O Veged O Or O Sak Kol Kli Asher Yaseh Melacha Bahem B'Mayim Yuvah V'Tamei Ad Ha'arev. Right, by this one he says, right, in the first pasuk it's really hard to get the drasha, because right, you think that's a colon, it defines it, or you think that it's saying, right, there are other things which are beged, that's why I have to qualify with semer opishtim. The second one, it's clear that beged seems, right, it's o beged o or o sak kol kli, right, you get this broader discussion within it, where it's clear that beged means a certain subset. Right, but all of them are in the general, right? Or is not. And that's what we'll learn, that or is not a beged, right? That's clear, because it's clothing or leather, which tells you that leather is not clothing. But, according to Tosafot, the way that we know that, oh, beged, right? So, again, so this is how Rashi reads it, okay? Rashi says the drasha goes like this. That the shita who holds that you're obligated will essentially probably say it's a colon. A beged means semer upishtim. But if you think that it doesn't become tamei at all, so it's easy enough. The shita who holds that I might have got this wrong the first time I formulated it. The shita who holds that even by sarat you're chayav. How does he get it? Because he says, "Oh, beged." Right? The extra "o" teaches you that beged isn't limited to the two here. Beged is more expensive, or you could say it's actually limited, but that's only in this context, not another context. But as Tosafot know, there's a machloket on that point. Of whether Negayim or Chayev. So the way Rashi reads it is that even by Negayim, according to Rabbi Ishmael, you are Chayev by Tzarat. Why? Because there's Tzemer Upishtim and there's which teaches you Beged is more expensive. Right? If you wanted to limit it, you would say, no, it's only Tzemer Upishtim, and that's going to be the other position in the Gemara. Tosafot says, how do I know that all clothes are defined as clothing? Because this pasuk by Tumat Sheretz just lists everything. It's beged or, which means that linen, that leather is not a beged, but everything else is. Clothing is just clothing, and certain exceptions, and we'll understand why, are not. But conceptually speaking, again, the simplest understanding here is that, according to the positions, that you're chayev in all clothing, it's because the word beged just means clothing. If you think not, then you look at these prukim and say the fact that in certain contexts we define it by certain materials tell you that beged doesn't mean clothing. It means a certain subset of clothing. Okay. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Okay. Now, tell me though, rabbinically, now give me the logic. Why would you say that if only wool and linen are obligated biblically in sitzes, why would you say that rabbinically they say that cotton and silk and whatever are chayiv in sitzes? What's the logic?
Rabbinically.
Right, what's the logic?
Repeat the question, sorry.
Right, if you think that biblically only wool and linen sitzes, wool and linen clothing are chayiv, so why everyone agrees that at least rabbinically silk or cotton requires sitzes? Why? What's the logic?
Because it says...
I think those are more of the same material.
Right. They're meaning?
They're like also come from like plants that are like...
Right, meaning essentially, look, in the end of the day, yes, that maybe formally, maybe halacha defines the word beged not as clothing, but in the end of the day, these are clothes and they're similar enough. And like, we have to bend over backwards to figure out why they shouldn't be chayiv in the first place, because the halacha is that you need sitzes on your clothing. Aren't these clothing?
Right.
And the answer is, well, maybe biblically they're not, because beged means a certain subset of clothing.
Maybe.
But colloquially, or maybe. But like rabbinically, there's a very strong logic to say you should be chayiv in cotton because it's still clothing. Like it structurally, it makes sense to put sitzes
on it. You're wearing it.
Exactly. So you treat it as a beged. Now you could push it farther, right? I think one level is simply that is, come on. Even if biblically there's a gzeiras hakasuv that begadim is a subset, like, you know, still, right? We, you know, it's clothing. So you should be wearing it, because otherwise, if you start wearing, you know, four-cornered cotton things and don't wear tzitzis on them, then you know the difference between cotton and wool, maybe. You know the difference between cotton and linen? I don't know, or linen and silk? Right? Like, you know, they, right? I think there's also a second level that you could push this towards, which is not just, look, you're going to get confused because you relate to it as clothes. Why else? Why else would you say rabbinically you're obligated? Because what's the purpose of tzitzis, right? Give me a local argument for tzitzis.
What's the rabbinic argument for it?
What's right? Think of a local. That's a general argument, right? Which is rabbinic law basically takes something which in most people's head is similar, even if formally might not be, and says, look, formally, biblically, it's only certain types of clothes, but in your head you don't really know the difference. So all clothing. But there's another argument which emerges from some poskim, which is, now, what's the purpose of tzitzis?
To remind you
that when you're wearing tzitzis, you have the strings coming out, which remind you of the mitzvah. If you're wearing a cotton beged and you wear tzitzis, it's not just that structurally it's the same, it's that in terms of the purpose, it will accomplish the same thing, and therefore it's meaningful. Now that, both of those are going to have to be sharpened when what? When we get to leather. Right, because when we discover, right, which if you've seen the Gemara already, that leather, according to everybody, is not obligated, so then we're going to have to come back and say, wait a second, if the argument is so compelling that clothing means clothing, or at least rabbinically clothing means clothing, because that's how I relate to it, so why is it that leather, which people relate to as clothing also, why is that not counted? That's going to, right? Right. Once you build up the case so strong that you should obligate things at least rabbinically, then you're going to have to deal with the unarguable evidence, which is leather is not chayev. So we're going to have to come back to that. But I want you at least to understand the conceptual problem that we need to answer. Okay. But I think this is the basic conceptual model for it. Let's move for a minute then to halacha. Okay. Like I said. Now you understand why I said just read the Gemara, understand the Gemara, deal with the conceptual issues. Because once you understand that, much of the rest of the sugya is shaking out halacha l'maaseh. Okay, what do we do? Meaning, we've presented two models, but which one do we follow? Now you'll tell me l'may nafka mina. Because halachically, right, halachically, if you have a cotton beged, do you have to put tzitzis on it?
No.
According to everybody... Yes, what's the machloket? D'araisa versus d'rabbanan. Everyone agrees that cotton you have to put on. So why do I even care? What does it mean to paskin? Right? So what's the nafkamina? What potential nafkaminas could there be? Right? If in the end of the day we agree that at least rabbinically cotton and silk and the like is chayev, then why does it matter whether it's rabbinic or biblical? Daniel. Or does it matter? Or is this all academic and who cares anymore?
I guess it doesn't really matter, because otherwise, either way, you're going to have to wear it.
So if the question, is, do I have to wear it? Then the answer is, yeah, there's no difference. But there is a difference. What's the difference?
You're better off wearing one.
The mitzvah.
Good. One is, we'll see many poskim will say, wait a second, is there a value in wearing dafka wool? Because
it's completely safe and
right. Because according to the position, yes, if you happen to be wearing cotton begad, which is four corners, everyone will agree you have to put on four. But for us, where we, in the time of the Gemara, what was the Shaila, right? Where did people put tzitzis? Yeah, on their normal beged, they put tzitzis. So there, I happen to have a cotton beged, everyone will agree I put it on. But nowadays, our regular clothes are not four-cornered. What are our clothes, right? What's our tzitzis? It's a beged that we choose to put on for the sole purpose of doing what?
Fulfilling the mitzvah.
So I get it. In a world where the question was, do I have to put tzitzis on my clothes, like my normal clothes, so lemaisa, is there any difference? No, because I need to put on tzitzis. But when the question is, wait a second, my normal clothes don't have four corners, and I'm going to go out of my way to fulfill the mitzvah, now is there a difference?
Yeah,
because if you think all clothes are obligated, doesn't matter what material, then I've gone out of my way to fulfill a biblical mitzvah. But if you think that cotton is not chayev, then I'm going out of my way to put on something that biblically is absolutely meaningless. Right? Absolutely meaningless. And only rabbinically is it meaningful at all. That does matter. Meaning, should you go out of your way to get wool tzitzis? That's one possibility. That's relatively low stakes. Now, higher stakes will obviously be if you're dealing with kilayim, right? Kilayim is much bigger, because as we said in the Gemara, the kilayim question hangs on this, right? Meaning, biblically, if it's biblically chayev, are you allowed to put on kilayim, wool and linen strings?
No.
Yes.
Biblically obligated.
Oh, yes, you are. Yeah,
potentially, yes. If it's rabbinic?
No.
Right, you can't. Right, now the Gemara wasn't sure, because it said, but potentially. Now there's another one, which is, and this is really high stakes, this is even higher stakes. Again, it's not 100% clear this is true, but it might be. Can you wear your tzitzis on Shabbos? Where there's no, or at least where there's no Eruv. Right? If it's biblical, then the strings are meaningful. If it's rabbinic, according to many poskim, you can't wear it because biblically this is meaningless strings, and therefore it's carrying. So if you wear it, you're chayav misa. Right? You'd be put to death. Right, and if you're a Soloveitchik, right, you can ask Yosef, then you won't wear your tzitzis, ki who's that, right? You just won't wear your tzitzis, right, on Shabbos.
Unless there's a trusted Arab.
Unless there's a trusted Arab, and that's why I was very proud, because he asked me, can I carry where you live, because he wanted to wear his tzitzis at least, and his great-uncle said yes, because I convinced his great-uncle that our Arab was good, even Mishpachat Soloveitchik, and so he wore tzitzis.
Modin or Efrat?
No, Efrat, not by Modin. Yeah. By Modin, there's no way the Briskers are carrying in Modin, but where I live in Efrat, where there's walls around this, around it, and in a Echanami. Walls are pretty darn good for as Erev and Gun. So the stakes can potentially be quite high. So how do we pask? So, Rashi, Tosvo, how do they pask in? How do they pask in? Did you get to it? I know, I told you focus on the Gemara, because really this is not so hard. Okay, really just look. Here, look at the first wide line. If you want just the summary. Rabbeinu Tam, Virashi. Look at the first wide line in Tosfot. First wide line, got it? See where it says Virabbeinu Tam?
Virashi?
It says Virabbeinu Tam, Virashi. In Tosfot. In Tosfot, got it? Virabbeinu Tam, Virashi, Pasku, Kirava, Mishum, Dehu, Batra. So there's a rule that the Balei HaTosfot were big fans of, which is, when in doubt, you paskin like the leader, Amora. Why? Halacha kibatrai. Why? Why?
The later. Because they've seen more opinions.
Because they've seen the earlier opinions and made their decision in light of their knowledge of the previous opinions. It's not that they're not greater. It's that the later opinions are... right. The earlier positions may be greater, but the later positions are saying, in light of everything I know, including all the earlier positions, what's the halacha? So therefore they paskin like Rava. Now going back to that, what does that mean? According to that, Rava paskins which way?
Like that you can wear... Not mixed. You can wear anything. Am I making this up?
Wait, which one was Rabba?
All right, someone else go, because this is one you missed.
Rabba says, you're chayef.
That's
chayef. Right, you're obligated. Right? The Ashkenazi position is, you're obligated. You're obligated in, right? Cotton is chayef. Cotton is chayef midaraisa. Right, midaraisa. Who doesn't paskin that way?
He just says far, yeah.
Yeah, good. Yeah. The Rambam. How does the Rambam paskin? Parak Gimel al Chabet. Someone read it for me.
Someone
read it. What? No, I always, because everyone has the Rambam. Okay, fine. You want to look at the summary? Look at 3. Okay, look at the Beit Yosef. Right, Beit Yosef tells you. Hatosvot kasvot shirashi ben otam pasku kirava mishum devi batra v'chein kasvot amor lechai v'shem ri v'chein basik smag v'chein dasa rash. Basically, every Ashkenazi posek you can think of from France or Germany. Right? Rashi ben otam Mordechai over the course of like 200 years. Right? V'tama ala Rav Yitzchak alfasi lama pasik Rav Nachman came to the Rambam Bligile, and they didn't understand the riff and the Rambam, not surprisingly, who paskin like Rav Nachman, that you are putter. That's only rabbinic. And they don't understand why. So they said maybe it could Rabbi Shmuel agreed with him. But that's not clear because there's a stira on it. But the Shulchan Aruch Paskin is like who? Not surprisingly, the Rambam and the Rif. Because the Shulchan Aruch's normal rule is he takes 3 poskim, Rif, Rambam, Rush. And he paskins like the majority. The Rif and the Rambam say is cotton, let's just use cotton, because that's the most likely that you're going to face. Is cotton biblically chayv and tzitzis? Rif and Rambam?
Yes.
No.
No.
Rashi and Rashi or Ben Adam?
Yes.
Which one is Shulchan Aruch going to paskin like? If his 3 poskim, he goes for a Rif, Rush,
Rambam, Rif.
And Rambam, Rif both say no, Rush says yes. 2 out of 3? Good. Which one is the Ramah going to paskin like?
Yes. Oh, shit.
Good. So if you look at 4 in the Shulchan Aruch says, "Ein chayav b'tzitzit menatar el beged upishtim o tzemer rechelim." Avol bigdei sharminim ein chayav b'tzitzit el b'rabanan. Shulchan Aruch says, "Only wool and linen." And by wool, we should just clarify. He means wool means sheep wool, right? Not camel wool, right? You can call other things tzemer in Hebrew, but it means what we would in English call wool. And the Ramah says, "Ve'yeshar the kulon chayav midaraisa v'hachi ilchasa." Right, and he says, that is the halacha. Right, the Ramah says, no, we're obligated in everything. Now, the interesting thing is that despite the fact that it is a machloket in the Gemara, some of the later poskim try to prove from other places in Shas which way we paskin, which is sort of strange, because we know we have 2 positions. It's even weirder because some of them point to the Mishnah in Kilayim number 5, that ein asr mishum kilayim el etzemer upishtim, that by kilayim, right, obviously etzemer upishtim, ve'enu mitamim bin agoyim el etzemer upishtim, ve'en kohanim lovshin l'sham v'en amikdash el etzemer upishtim. The kohanim only wear wool and linen in the Beit HaMikdash. It only becomes tamei some tzarat if it's wool and linen. And the Archa Shulchan and says, v'artz l'chaim, maybe Raila is a Mishnah, reish perek, tet de kilayim, l'chashu milay tzemer upishtim, l'chashu zet tzitzit. So the Arz Rechaim looks at this Mishnah and says, look, it doesn't mention tzitzis, which sounds like tzitzis is all begotten, and that only these 3 halachot are only tzemer opishtin, namely, what the Kohanim wear, kilayim, and tzarat. And he says, maybe not. But tzitzis, he says, maybe not, because everyone agrees that other begotten are at least chayv midrabanan. So these are the 3 which are totally meaningless if they're not wool and linen. Maybe tzitzis is biblically, but it's a really weird, I'll be honest, the whole thing is weird, meaning the Gemara knew the Mishnah, and the Mishnah and the Gemara still had a machloket. So I don't think you can find a Mishnah that proves one way or the other within the Gemara. It's a very strange methodology. But that's the machloket. Now why does it matter? So as I said, right, when I said those 3 reasons that it matters, so look at the Mishnah Berurah. That's who says why it matters. He says, after tzarach levarach al mitzvah shimi d'rabban. He said, obviously, if you wear cotton tzitzis, you have to make a bracha. According to everybody, Yes, because at least it's rabbinically chayav. Mikol makom, nafka mina leinyan kama dvarim. But there still is a difference, which is aleph. If you have a choice, it's better to do it biblically. Two is, so here's his shita. Okay? What if you don't know whether the tzitzit was tied lishma, and you have no other tzitzis? Should you wear it? So, if it's rabbinic, should you wear it?
Yes.
If it's biblical, should you? No, because now you're wearing something that biblically is chayv in tzitzis, but it might not be yotzei. His most fun is number three, which is, and this is something that we mentioned, let's say you're in public, and the only thing you're wearing is a four-cornered garment. Okay? You're not wearing, you're not just wearing, you're not, you can't just pull your tzitzis out of your shirt, right? You're wearing a toga.
Yeah,
well, you're doing that, but you're wearing a toga.
It's not technically a four-cornered garment, though.
That's why I just said it.
Oh,
you're wearing a toga. Right? That's all you're wearing. You're wearing a toga. And the tzitzis rip. You got a toga and you put tzitzis on it, and now they rip. So, what do you do? What's the halacha? Biblically speaking,
you have to take it off. Yeah.
You take it off. You're violating a biblical prohibition. You're in public and it's embarrassing. The answer is, too bad. Right? Too bad. When it comes to biblical law, too bad. Again, this is a wool. This is a cotton toga.
Either way.
I don't know. A cotton toga. Fine. Fine.
So.
But if it's rabbinic, so what's halacha? Do you have to take it off as soon as one of the tzitzis rips?
No.
No, you wait till you get inside. So he says, "Imu yoshev etzibur v'nevzegach metzitziotav bechol imu v'nirabbanan yishno kavod rabbi yadocha derabbanan menu chayet mechuyev tekev livshot talita." Said, if it's rabbinically obligated, so you can leave it on, find the closest bathroom, and change into your clothes. If it's biblical, you've got to strip in public. Because now you're wearing a biblically obligated toga without tzitzis. Right?
fun sight. Someone's just wearing a toga in the middle of like a town.
Correct. And then they just pull off their toga and they're like, you know, how are you pulling off your toga? I have to because the tzitzis ripped.
Would that be the case even if you're in a makom kadosh?
Yeah.
Like say you're in the
shul.
In a mikdash or something.
Yeah, don't matter.
But aren't you not allowed to have your hair exposed in the Beit HaMikdash?
Yeah, but you're also not allowed to have...
Maybe the Beit HaMikdash, I don't know. That's really on the Mizbeach. It's on the Mizbeach. If you're on the Mizbeach, it's not going to happen because it's wool and linen, you know, it's the cotton. If you're in the Beit HaMikdash, presumably still, I think. I wouldn't put my name behind that. I don't know how often the shaila comes up. If you're wearing a wool toga, right, without tzitzis in the Beis HaMikdash, I don't know.
Or if you're on Harabai.
Now, we remember, we said this about kilayim also. The same thing is true by kilayim. Whereas if you realize your clothes have kilayim, right, that their shatn is, so if it's biblical, you have to strip. If it's rabbinic, you go home. Which is why it's important to know that most of the clothes that we have, when we say they're kilayim, we don't mean they're biblical kilayim, because usually, 99% of the time, if you get clothes, you get your suit checked, and it's kilayim, where's the kilayim?
Stuffing.
And the stuffing. Right? The stuffing of the collar, and that's rabbinic, because it's not sewn in, it's just mixed. But if it's just mixed, it's only rabbinic kilayim. Same principle.
Didn't we say you could exception for being mixed.
Well,
are we saying that tzitzit is the only exception towards being mixed or not?
Yeah, but that's what we're talking about right now. We're talking about you have cotton tzitzit with cotton strings, cotton baguette with cotton strings, and then one of them rips. So if it's biblically obligated, you have to take it off in public. If it's rabbinically, you don't have to. Mishnah Brura says, then next in number 8, V'yesh V'yori Shamayim Yachmar Latma Lachush L'deya HaRishona. So the Mishnah Brura says that because, even though the Ashkenazi position is that our cotton sits at cotton begadim chayev, yes, but what does he say? He thinks that you should try to wear wool ones. The Yazatal Jatzemer Kadesh Chayev Tzitzmentar Lukulayam of Nachon Shiasa Bein Atal Gadav and Talis Katan Shal Tzemer. And he says that this is true of your talis or your tzitzis, right? What we would call tzitzis. Okay. So that's the logic, right? Now, not everyone agreed with this. Some people said that it's perfectly fine to wear cotton begadim. Now, what would be the logic to say you can wear cotton? You can wear a cotton beged, right? What's the logic to say you can wear a cotton beged with tzitzis? What would be the logic? It's not complicated. What's the logic? That the if you're Ashkenazi, the standard. Yeah. Suck is that you're in fact I'm obligated. Meaning the Mishabura is saying we should be choshesh for the position of the Rambam and the Rift, the Shulchan Aruch Baskin is like. But if you're Ashkenazi,
then everything's kosher.
Then not everything's kosher. The other everything's obligated. So meaning you could just say, okay, big deal. Right? Meaning why do I have to worry about Shulchan Aruch? Just say, we're Ashkenazi, we paskin that you're obligated. I know Yosef's not. Right? Yosef, there's good reason to only wear wool. Right, but for everyone else, say the majority position we've shown him is that everything's obligated. So,
wear everything.
So what's the problem? And if you look at Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach, we'll get to leather. He says katan shel tzemer lekayim mitzvah midor raisel kulei alma. The Rav Shlomo Zalman says, really, if you can wear wool, umashik goes to my serav. But he said we know sherabino agra lo lavish talit katan shel tzemer. The Gra wore a cotton talis katan. Now there's a huge machlokas as to why he did it. Now, this is the problem. With the Gra, we often know what he did, but we don't always know why he did it. Right? Because we have his what he did recorded, but why he did it, we have no idea. So there's a huge machlokas. Okay, I'm not going to read this inside, but I'll tell you. Some people say that the reason he wore, let's say, cotton talis katan was because he wore his talis gadol all day. So therefore, he was already mekayim the mitzvah, so big deal. Right? I mean, there's no reason for him to have two begadim that are biblically obligated. Other people say that he wanted to show people that you're chayev. Right? He wanted to make it clear that you were chayev midarais. Okay. So le'alocha, there are many poskim who will tell you really should try to wear wool. There are other poskim who say it's not the biggest deal. Where does this normally come up? So Shlomo Zalman says, when do people really ask this question? So during the winter, if you're, you know, think about it. During the winter, you're wearing, let's say, a flannel undershirt, right? You're in Canada, it's negative 25. So then you'd say, look, why wouldn't you wear wool? Right? You're already packing on layers. It might as well be warm tzitzis. That's not when people ask the shayla. When people really get worked up about this, it's the summer, where wearing wool tzitzis is not fun. So Shlomo Zalman says, no, even in the summer you should do it. Now he says, maybe you'll tell me that, no, during the summer you can't wear it. Why? Because you have to be wearing tzitzis, and it's so uncomfortable to wear wool tzitzis in the summer that maybe that doesn't even count as wearing. And therefore you should wear cotton, because that's the type of thing that a normal person would wear. Shlomo Zalman says, nah, what are you talking about? Wearing is about wearing, not about benefit. Right? Wearing is not defined by benefit. Right? You're wearing wool in the summer. If you wear a sweater in the summer, no one's going to say, oh, that's not called wearing, because it's causing you more pain than benefit. Everyone will say, you're wearing it. So he says the same thing is true of tzitzis. Now, he does note that there's a tosos that implies that it's not true, that if you don't get hana, maybe it doesn't count, but that's not the simple pshat. And he says, besides, the fact that we wear tzitzis all the time means that this is your clothing, right? It's just something we wear. So even if it's uncomfortable, like you wouldn't say, right, if you had to wear your uniform to school, maybe uncomfortable, but it's still your clothing because that's what you wear. So he says, maybe it is uncomfortable to do something. It doesn't mean you're not going to be yotze, right? Wearing something is not defined by benefit, right? That's basically his argument. He does not, again, he notes that tosos in one place sounds not that way, but he assumes we don't paskin that way. And that's almost definitely the case. Right, if you look at Chulas von Hagos, now, there are other people who give other suggestions as to why the Grad Dafka wore things that were made of cotton or whatever it was. So one person said that maybe it was he wore a he used to wear a linen coat, right? A linen shirt, and he was choshesh to Rabbeinu Yonah's position that if you're wearing a linen shirt, you aren't allowed to wear wool underneath it. Another possibility, I heard Rabbi Simon suggest that maybe he was choshesh for the balamor. Remember the balamor? That tchelet makev et alavan, if you don't have tchelet, you can't even wear white. So if you're wearing cotton tzitzis, and it's only midrabanan, so then it's not a problem biblically. So maybe that, all right, there's all types of suggestions. It's all speculation. But in general, the poskim do suggest that that it is preferred to wear wool. It's preferred to wear wool tzitzis, because then you know you're being chayv midaraisa. Again, is it absolutely obligatory? No. Right? It's not absolutely obligatory. But in general, the poskim are into this. And in 11, I gave it to you. Again, I'm not going to read inside. Moshe Feinstein says more than that. The Gemara on Mem Aleph tells the story of Rav Katina, who the Malachim said that people don't wear tzitzis, so when God is angry, he punishes them. And they said, why? Right? Meaning, you're not chayv to wear tzitzis. It's just that if you have a four-cornered beged, you have to wear tzitzis. So how could you say God gets angry at the people who don't choose to wear four-cornered garments? And he said, look, it's not punishing you, but when God is angry, whatever that means, right? He looks for the people who go out of their way to be Mekayim Mitzvot. So Ramosha says, look, the same thing is true. What?
Not be.
To be Mekayim Mitzvot. I mean, you don't have to wear a four-cornered garment. But the people who don't go out of their way to be Mekayim Mitzvot, when it's so easy, God says, what are you doing? You had such an easy way to be Mekayim Mitzvot. He gets angry. So Ramosha says, what's the logic of everyone who says you should try to wear tzitzis that are wool? Because at the end of the day, right? We know that it's not just that the way we treat tzitzis is that we try to go out of our way to Mekayim Mitzvot. Once you're doing that, you should do it according to everybody. Right? You should try to do it according to everybody. Okay. I want to try to finish this and get to Or tomorrow, so let me just see if there are other points here. Now, there, again, Ramosha, as against the discussion, he's not convinced that you can't wear like cotton baguette in a Rishos HaRabim, because he says maybe, right, the fact that it's rabbinically chayav, maybe that does make it clothing, right? We can debate that point. Yeah. And again, now in general, I would just say that the poskim do assume that you should wear, if you can, wool. If it's really uncomfortable, so know that according to Ashkenazim, you are definitely Mekayim HaMitzvah Midaraisa, right? According to Rav Shito. So it's not like the biggest deal. If you don't wear it, right, it's not the biggest deal. We'll get to mesh. But cotton, right, again, according to Rav Rishonim, is Chayav, definitely according to Ashkenazim Rishonim. But again, there is this trend amongst poskim to say that because we want you to be Mekayim HaMitzvah, biblically you should wear it. Now the Mishnah Berurah notes that by this we mean, let's say it's 90% wool, but there's a few like cotton threads in it, that's still Chayav Midaraisa, right? Don't worry about that, right? That's still a wool beged. Again, Shulchan Aruch makes the point that I said that wool means, right, sheep wool, not like camel wool. If that ever, Shaila ever came up to you, I have no idea. We'll get back to the kilayim point, but in general, the assumption that we'll see for reasons why, if you don't have tchelet, the assumptions don't do kilayim. But again, this is not what we're talking about usually. And there is a gzera. There is a in general. Why do I keep saying wool? So because of the problem with tchelet, right? Because it's wool. So in general, we try to avoid linen begadim, which would require kilayim, and go with wool. So that's why in general it's wool. And also, I don't think most of you, right, that's what the Ramah writes in 16.
But if you don't have tchelet, then the strings don't have to be
correct tchelet. But because we'll get to this in Daf Mem, but in general there is a problem. We'll get to it in Daf Mem, but in general halacha frowns upon using linen. We'll get to that. These are all things we're going to get back to, but again, I gave you all the sources so you have it. So the Rajba just says, why is it that by other begadim you put on wool and linen tzitzit? So his argument is called the tikkun rabbanan dein daraisa tikkun. Now whenever the rabbanan make a rule, they try to mimic it on the daraisa. And since according to the position of the cotton is not chayev, and only wool and linen is, that means that, right, why is that you're allowed to put wool tzitzit on a cotton beged? Because since according to that position. Everything is modeled on wool and linen, so obviously wool and linen are going to be good enough. That's the Rajba's point. He clarifies some of the points that we talked about in Beged, if you want to look at it, but that is in 17. But let's leave it there. That's really conceptual question number one. Okay? Again, and this is one, like I said, this is one of those sugyos where the basic conceptual question is pretty straightforward, and after that, the posts can basically just divide into camps. What I want to deal with tomorrow, and this is from 18 to the end, is, okay, if everything I just said is true, that either biblically beged just means all clothing, or at least rabbinically it means that, so why is it that leather, like I can wear a leather jacket, why is it that a leather jacket doesn't count in any way, shape, or form? Where did we get that? So that's going to be the Gemara on Mem Amud Bet, and that halacha is very important because that is a very, very common halacha, because even if you think cotton is chayev, polyester hangs on how you understand the exemption from linen, from leather rather. So what we're going to do tomorrow is this again Mem Amud Bet about leather. There you really do have to look at some of the makarot on this, and then the day after that we will do size. Okay? Shkoyach.